100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Or good evening. Or good night. Hi, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast, One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. Every week we do this thing called a weekly challenge. I post a topic and you come up with the stories. Isn't that exciting? Well, things are about to get even more exciting because you're going to hear all those stories. First, I need to scroll through. Okay. It's a pick two is the topic, which means certain, cloud, earthling, wine, dumped, beginning. You guys picked two of those topics and ran with them. And hopefully you didn't run too far away because you have to run all the way back. Let's see who did those this week. Tom, Muncie, Charlie, Richard, Jeffrey, Owen Scholar. Cool. Have you been here before? I can't remember. I should keep a list, and I keep saying every time, I should keep a list. And Serendipity, Lizzie, Tura, Norval Joe, and the return of Zachman. And Planet Z. So if you're ready for stories, we've got them. Want to hear? Just keep listening.
Hello, night people. Tom here in the Great White North. Take off, you hoosers. Hey, I'm posting from the very spot that I started writing for the challenge 10 years to the day. So my story this evening is not quite Bonnie and Clyde. Earthling wine is swill, grumbled the little green man. Shut your air hole, returned the big purple woman. Your frackin' idea to crash on this gore-forsaken rock. Because you didn't fill up at the Alpha Centauri Z-Mart? Right. It's my fault, you second-rate amphibian. Look, child of a tree sloth. I'm just laying out the facts. Okay, almond eyes. Fact one. Who pocketed the eye of all-seeing sight during the Emperor's coronation? No, zero fact. Who made off with the General's ID plate? Initiative. Oh, really? Furball. Pond scum. Shut up and pass me to Thunderbird. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Greetings, Hans, from Munsey. Back to regale you with more fiction. More, and damn those who say less. The End of the World by Christopher Monroe. They say that, from a certain point of view, every end is a new beginning. I assume this is intended for people who've been dumped, as it does not apply to the end of the world. It came from beyond the clouds, a being beyond any earthling's comprehension, and we knew instinctively there was no way to defend ourselves, no hope for humanity. Well, we who weren't driven mad did, anyway. Myself, I tried to be philosophical about it. We've all got to go sometime. Sometime soon. I drank up the wine, eyes on the horizon, and waited for the end. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. And with that, Hans, I must leave you once more, but I shall return. I suspect you know I shall return by this point.
I was certain that the cloud passing over was a sign and a threat to all the earthlings that dumped their garbage in the ocean and built atomic missiles. It was the beginning. That day, that hour that the aliens finally put their hooves down and let us know that they were here, that they were taking over for our own good and theirs, and that we had fucked things up so much they decided we needed a lot of radical changes to save ourselves and save them, in turn. They were out to prove that we were irresponsible poop heads. Number 2. I dumped two bottles of wine in my schlep bag and went to the apartment where the writing group met. I had planned to blow smoke up the behind of the editor of our local weekly. Hoping he was going to be there, I wore my best blazer and my favorite tie. I wanted to get a reporter job where I could write to my strengths. I had written 200 or 300 short stories, published online, but they offered no challenge to my real talent, and didn't give me any satisfaction. I was on automatic when I wrote.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 535, and it's a pick two this week. My first story is called Family Outing. "Isn't this a great day for a picnic?" Dad exclaimed, his manufactured enthusiasm only delaying the inevitable responses.
"I was going to hang with Dylan," said my sister Jan.
"Sit on damp grass, attract ants, and have lousy cell reception? No thanks," I said.
"It's a lovely idea, dear, but the day is turning cloudy. We don't want to risk rain dumping on us," Mom said.
"Then it's settled. We leave in an hour." Dad spoke to me only, as Jan was already on the phone to Dylan, explaining that she had the worst father in the world. Mom was putting a bottle of wine in the cooler. She felt the outdoors was best experienced with a serious buzz. I sighed and checked the charge on my Game Boy. And my second story is called Cheap Venal Scam. Prices at CVS are terrible, so I never go without a sheaf of coupons. Just as certain as bad prices, I can always count on being unable to use one or more coupons. I've had the self-checkout machine eat several, had some the system simply refused to take, and had others go to merchandise that the chain doesn't carry. My favorite is the 25% off your purchase coupon. The fine print explains that the coupon is not good on sale items. This turns out to include buy one, get one half off items, even if I'm buying only one. "But I'm paying full price," I protested, to no avail. I dumped the merchandise on the counter and left, feeling the beginnings of a tension headache. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. Richard here, broadcasting from Planet Why Is It So Damn Hot. It's about a billion degrees here. My keyboard is melted. Anyway, here's some stories. Pick twos. I'm not sure which ones I picked. Anyway, here we go. The Gospel According to Norman. In the beginning. In the beginning was the heaven and the earth. But both were incredibly boring. So, to liven things up a bit, God said, "Let there be wine." And there was wine. Much partying and merriment ensued, and the heavenly host grew rather worse for wear, and more than a little drunk. Seeing his creator distracted, man had a party of his own, sinning both originally and copiously. It didn't matter. An angel drunkenly left a tap running, flooding the earth. Fortunately, a few righteous individuals were spared, some boat builders who didn't have time for partying. Here's story number two. It's Space, the Final Dumpster. Space is becoming messy. We've dumped so much trash out there, circling in geosynchronous orbit. Most of the stars you see at night are just reflections of sunlight on stray bits of metal and dust. Dead satellites, lost spanners, fragments of foil, bags full of astronaut poop, a massive cloud of debris that's not going away, and nobody knows just how damaging it might be. Not that it matters to me. By the time it's anything to be concerned about, I'll be long gone. Unless, of course, I'm taken before my time, an unfortunate victim of falling space junk. And finally, continuing the theme, Close Encounter. Greetings, Earthling. I'd always denied the existence of aliens. But faced with the thin, grey creature with the dark oval eyes, I was finding that was difficult to do right now. I giggled nervously. You're not going to ask me to phone home or take you to my leader, are you? The alien looked at me steadily. You are to stand trial before the Galactic Court of Justice as your planet's representative. Humans are beginning to become a cosmic pain in the butt. But why? I protested. What crime are we accused of? Fly-tipping and littering the solar system. And that's it. I'm going to lie down in the freezer and stay there until next week. Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Owen Scholar. I'm an ex-journalist turned content marketer. Certain and beginning. For me, the beginning was when I joined the school newspaper. I was enamored by my uncle, the foreign correspondent. An advisor yelling at us for being late on deadlines, doing layout under light boards, hauling ass in my friend's old MG to make it to the printers by midnight. I was certain it would be the rest of my life. And I tried. Taking pay cuts from $11 an hour to $10.50, losing years to a hyperlocal startup, reporting on Big Pharma. Luckily, I'm the one who got to begin again. But I'm certain it'll never be the same.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Would you like another glass? I asked, offering the wine bottle. He smiled and nodded. They always did. And then, shortly afterwards, the look of surprise, as they found themselves slipping into unconsciousness and slumping onto the table. I perfected my technique after some idiot tried to date rape me using the same method. He hadn't succeeded, and now I was on a mission. It was simple revenge against the arrogance of the male of the species. When he finally woke up, he'd find himself dumped in an alley, missing his wallet. And missing his testicles.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. I chose wine and beginning. So here goes. Look, this wine costs a fortune, said the sommelier, tilting the bottle. At the beginning, the teen students seemed interested and nodded. If I dropped it, what a catastrophe! Then some started yawning. It must taste heavenly. Several strayed away. However, the sommelier was quite proud of his presentation, and he didn't see it coming. One unsuspected elbow, and the bottle slipped from his hand, crashing on the floor. All laughed uncontrollably. The sommelier died inside. He dashed onto a shelf, smashing a fortune and his future. The kids just gazed back at their phones and forgot all about it. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Turabrazino here with a story on the words cloud and beginning. Find a little fluffy cloud and stare at it patiently. After a few minutes, you may begin to not merely notice that it has changed shape, but to directly see it writhing in the sky. The transition from seeing that to seeing is unmistakable. Practice this whenever you see clouds. When you can look at the sky and at once see a roiling cloudscape, you can try staring at the surface of a lake until you see the minute disturbances telling the movement of fish below. Eventually, you will be able to see grass grow, paint dry, and friends age.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 353. For you dyslexic folk, for the rest of us, it's 535, with a prompt of pick two. Well, I'm trying something a little different. I'm posting chapters of Dirgle Vanderhoont, Wiener Dog Man, onto Wattpad to see if I can get some feedback as I go. They're alpha chapters, so they're pretty rough, not edited at all. So if you're interested, stop by Wattpad and look up Philip Carroll, author, and Norval Vanderhoont. It's going to be a novel, probably about 50,000 words long, aimed at the teen market. Well, here's my story. Maybe, if I can find it. Wait here, Mickey told Cherry Cola, taking furry brown monkey shorts from his backpack. Just because you're a monkey doesn't mean certain parts just disappear. In the beginning, when he first changed, it came as an embarrassing surprise. In a storage room, he dumped his clothes in an empty wine crate and left the room as a large howler monkey. Ooh, ooh, he said to Cherry, motioning her to follow. Outside, he leapt to a fire escape and swung to the roof. He wouldn't be among the clouds, but he'd be above the gravity-bound earthlings on the street below. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
I had to go to the planet because almost everyone seems to be playing this new game called Poke a Mango. Since mango is in the name of the game, I am almost certain that the Earthling, Matthew Sanborn Smith, is somehow mixed up in it. I met some friendly people who shared a mobile device and much wine. I liked the sweet taste, but after involuntarily dumping my stomach, I began to think this drink is only for humans. I think it was the reason my head was in a cloud and I didn't catch any poke amens.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
Long ago, Manfred Mann's band sang about the mighty Quinn, an Eskimo who spread peace and love and joy. Ever since then, I've always thought that song must be hell for any Eskimo or person named Quinn.
Are you an Eskimo? People would ask Quinn. Are you named Quinn?
People would ask an Eskimo. Although, now that I think of it, I don't believe that I've met many Eskimos. I can't recall the last time I saw one. I assume that they heard the song, got sick of people asking them if they're
name is Quinn, and went back home.
And there you have it. Another 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge that uses a pick two. All the topics are up on the site. I don't want to, you don't want to hear me rattle them off again. I mean, come on. You heard all the topics. Weren't they great? Weren't the stories great this week? I liked them. Leave a comment if you agree, disagree, or just want to share a recipe for something. I don't know. The next topic is a prayer. So head on over to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for the archives, all sorts of other stuff, and picture of a cat. And the, why do I include a picture of a cat every week? It makes the internet go faster. The internet is full of cats. So thank you for being a part of this, and I hope you have a great week. Enjoy the stories until then, and then bring your own. And we'll do another one of these. And, oh, as always, keep it brief.